podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome back, fight fans, to the big fight reaction to Amir Khan and Kell Brook this past weekend. Luke, big dog Lukey, joins me on this episode, standing in for Johnston, an adequate replacement, I'd like to say. Not just adequate, a great replacement. I'm really happy that you've come on to do this episode with me, and I'm really intrigued to hear your thoughts about this fight. I mean, both of us on our preview show for BTR said, you know, we think Khan's going to do this. And as soon as he got touched, he was like Bambi on ice.
Well, first off, I like being serviceable. Second off, woof, woof. And third, it just looked like Khan can't take a punch anymore. The punch resistance is just very bad.
Yeah, it certainly did that. I mean, we've always known that his punch resistance hasn't been the greatest in the world. But he has shown he can take some big shots and eat them up. Multiple times where we've seen him get through these fights, and I suppose that's what's made him an exciting fighter for a long time, is that danger element of him being hurt and knocked out, you know, quite easily. But he seemed to start off okay first couple of rounds. I felt like, you know, maybe his speed will overthrow Brook, like I was saying in our preview episode for it. I thought maybe the speed will prevail, but it was certainly the timing and the power that prevailed, and Kell Brook just shown us that he's still got a little something left. Contrary to what I thought, he's still got a little something left in the tank. Can Kell Brook now, can he go on and do anything else in boxing? Can he have another big fight before he calls it a day, or should he just call it a day now?
I think the thing with Kell Brook is he's just going to be on like kind of like the washed up guy tour, where it's like he's going to, like, I think we've planned out his future. He's going to fight the sons of legends. Let's do the Nigel Benn's famous. Let's fight Conor Benn. Chris Eubank, one of the biggest icons of British boxing. Let's fight his son. I don't think we're going to see Kell Brook fight anyone where it's a meaningful fight to the top of the division, but I do think he's going to have a couple of these real entertaining stadium-like shows to end out his career. And maybe he can sneak out a win in one of these fights.
I'm genuinely surprised that he had more left in the tank than what I thought he was. And I suppose we won't really know the answer to that until he fights somebody who is not on the decline like Khan was. I mean, I forgot doing that preview episode, being totally honest. I forgot that Khan had been out for quite a long time out of the ring. I didn't realise until they started talking about it on Saturday. I was like, has he really been out of the ring for that long? And I was like, maybe after doing the episode, my prediction probably started to wane over to Kell Brook, knowing that he'd been out for so long. And I suppose as soon as I seen him get hit by a stiff jab and his legs were going all over the show, straight away I knew he was finished. That for me said Khan is finished. And I don't want to be so negative about the whole thing. It was an entertaining fight. We did have this conversation about the fact that they're both declining. Would it make it more entertaining? Well, it certainly made it more entertaining for me. But I don't want to be overly negative about it, because I think we need to step back a little bit and just respect the fact that Amir Khan has had a fantastic career, and now it's time for him, certainly him, to call this a day.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the big thing about this Khan situation is neither one of them looked like their prime version of themselves, you know? And it's like, even though Kell Brook won, it felt like he just had a little bit more left. It didn't look like I was like, man, I can't wait to see Kell Brook in there with Virgil Ortiz, or I'd love to see Kell Brook take on Tim Tszyu. Like, it's pretty obvious he's not at that level anymore. It's just Khan, basically, this was all that he had left, and even that little bit, because would this Khan have beaten Julio Diaz? Would this Khan have beaten Samuel Vargas? I don't think so. Like, this Khan didn't even have that go that he was able to pull through in some of those fights where he had those shaky performances. In this fight, he basically looked like he was running on fumes.
Yeah, he did. I agree with you on that. I think it kind of felt like he was just spent. He said it in an interview afterwards. He had an interview with Sky Sports in the locker room, and they spoke about that obvious question, you know, is it time to call time on your boxing career? And Khan pretty much said, I'm not in love with the sport anymore. and he's obviously not been in love with the sport for a little while, but this was a clear payday. Like most people felt it was. It was a payday. And I felt like for Brook it meant more than it did for what it meant to Khan. It obviously meant a lot more to Kell Brook, and you could see by the emotion on his and his team's face at the end of the fight. And also what was quite interesting, I don't know if you noticed this, that underneath his gloves on his wraps, he had wrote on them, "I told you so," on his wraps. And he was like, he was confident, clearly, that he was going to go into this fight and he was going to do a number on Khan.
I mean, I've said this on my show and I'll say it here. It felt a little weird how celebratory Kell Brook was, because it's like Khan, to me, after 2011, we never saw him really after Danny Garcia. He took the two losses, Lamont Peterson, which was a pretty shaky decision. I think most people feel like Khan won, but it's like one of the weird times where like a referee deducts 2 points for pushing, which I've never seen since, you know, and then he gets knocked out by Danny Garcia. He kind of rebuilt, but I never really saw that same passion Khan had in that after the Prescott, because when I think of Amir Khan, I think of two acts of Amir Khan. I think of Freddie Roach when he was at the wild card, when it was the wild card summer. It was Jorge Linares. It was Amir Khan. It was Manny Pacquiao. They're all coming to HBO. Freddie Roach is the biggest trainer. And it was just like explosive, fast, vibrant, offensive. And goes with Virgil Hunter. Virgil Hunter gives him two amazing performances against Devin Alexander and Louis Collazo. But it felt like with Virgil, what Virgil was doing was trying to prolong his career. So he was no longer nearly as exciting. And I felt like in that Virgil Hunter stage, he learned how to make it a job. Like the passion was out and he was just strictly looking for where can I get the biggest fights? And that was evident when he was calling out Mayweather. Berto is getting the Mayweather fight. He's like, I want the Mayweather fight. Kind of just takes the Canelo fight just to get paid. So I say all that stuff to say him beating Kell Brook, being this excited, it felt like Khan isn't even the Khan that we look back on and say that was the great fighter.
No one's going to really give him credit because they fought way too late in their careers and they both passed the prime. I think you've got to have respect for what Amir Khan's done in his career, and I do hugely for what he's achieved in his career. But did he need to be in there? He didn't. Did Kell Brook really need to be in there? Well, obviously he felt he did, and his team felt he needed that. And it was obvious by the reaction at the end, they needed that victory. And they will move on and they will have a couple of more fights, maybe big name fights like the Benz, like the Eubanks. I honestly can't see world level for Kell Brook now. I see big domestic clashes here in the UK that will put bums on seats, that will sell tickets and get put on pay-per-view, and money will be earned from the back of it. And I think that's where Kell Brook's career is. And it's just, it's a big shame that they fought too late, because it's always going to be on everybody's mind now. What if, no matter what the pundits say at Sky Sports when it was broadcast here in the UK, and they said, oh, well, Kell Brook's put this statement on his legacy. How much of a defining win really is this when it's a shot to Bit Khan?
It's a terrible defining legacy. But I mean, the thing is, to me, Amir Khan has the more interesting resume and he mattered more to the general public. Kell Brook, I think for most pundits, we feel like he was the more technical fighter and probably the superior fighter, just being a more well-rounded guy. That being said, he didn't impact culture nearly as much as Amir Khan. I think he always felt that he was a better fighter, and Amir Khan had the push and the media behind him. And when you look at Kell Brook's career, it's going to be kind of hard to explain it a generation or two from now, because you're going to be like, this guy was really good, but he took a loss to Golovkin. It basically ruined whatever his prime was. Then he gets beat up by Errol Spence. And then he kind of just is around. He fights Crawford, looks like a journeyman, comes out of that fight, beats Khan, who looks like that. And now he's going to take on the Sons of Legends. It's really, really a strange career, thinking that he could have been like in the position Conor Benn was maybe 8 years ago.
I don't think, no matter what Kell Brook does now, I don't think his legacy will be remembered like he wants it to be. I mean, for me personally, I think if after that Sean Porter win, you know, that is his defining moment in his boxing career. Everything else after that is simply, to me, quite irrelevant. And it might sound really harsh and it might sound like I'm doing a bit of Kell Brook bashing here, but it's frustration as a fan more than anything, because we've seen him as a talented fighter over the years, and we've seen that he's got this potential. But for him to then come back after these losses to Golovkin and Spence and fight guys that really are a level below him and not getting the bigger names, you know, I would have preferred it for Kell Brook if he would have healed up, got well, come back and had big fights. And then if he loses them big fights, say back to back, you can't argue with the fact that he's tried. For me, it's a kind of what-if situation now, like with Kell Brook. Like when he retires eventually, it's going to be, you know, what could have his career been if he would have took different fights at different times? And I suppose we can't dwell on it too much, but it kind of leaves that question hanging in my mind about Kell Brook. But for Amir Khan, I'm kind of saying, like, look, he took this fight. It was a clear payday. He clearly wasn't motivated. He's openly pretty much said that in the aftermath of this. I think he's had a fantastic career. I think given his fragilities, i.e. his inability to take a good shot or sustain good shots throughout the course of a fight, what he's done throughout his career, I think he's quite impressive, quite a legacy-building career. I think he will be remembered, like you say, by the British fight fans a lot more than Kell Brook will be once he's said it, been and gone. And it's sad, really, because Kell Brook could have had something more. I think the whole situation was just kind of a last-minute thing for Amir Khan, a cash grab for Khan, for Kell Brook, it was trying to get his legacy, trying to have some sort of legacy to go on. But I honestly think, like, the only thing we're going to remember him by now, really, is two things: winning against Sean Porter and losing to Golovkin horribly.
Kell's in a weird spot. I mean, I think that an easy way I look at it is Amir Khan got the most out of his career, you know, Olympian. He gets knocked out multiple times and we still are engaged because it's like he had this persona. I think also like the career arc of Khan, he kind of came in. A lot of people looked at him as kind of like this privileged kid who was very arrogant, who had kind of this skill set that you don't think would work. Then when it wasn't working consistently, I feel like people were kind of like, well, he's actually really a nice guy and he's very gracious to the media. Like he never disappeared at the press conferences. He shows up at the Kell Brook press conference, talks to the media. And I think there was a story where the general public wanted to see Khan do well at a certain point. Whereas Kell Brook is kind of like one of these figures where I love boxing. And what is the Kell Brook story? You know, it's like he fought on undercards. He beats Sean Porter, goes back to obscurity, has a footnote in history that's cautionary in boxing, and then kind of thinks he's Khan. Like, that's kind of his story. He kind of thinks he should be in that position and then gets this win. And in his mind, it felt like he thought, this makes my legacy right. I won this fight at the end of my career. I'm going to be the better fighter of the era. And I think the harsh reality for Kell Brook is people just don't care. They're just going to choose Khan over him.
I think people will choose Khan in terms of accolades and achievements. But we're going back to this conversation we was having on your show. If anybody hasn't checked it out yet, please do go and check it out on ITR Boxing's YouTube channel as well. We were talking about this a few nights back about the fact that, you know, this whole boxing fans being engaged on social media and how they, you know, they bash fighters and they want to know contract negotiations. And the reason I bring this back up again is because, like, I think people have this perception of Amir Khan of being quite arrogant and quite and not so nice guy. And I think unless you've actually met the guy or been around him, it's hard to sort of make that judgment. And I think platforms like social media do give fight fans the opportunity to make their own interpretation. And I think people will look at it and go, oh yeah, well, you know, he wasn't that good, Amir Khan. But how can you say that? And like people, I think people do blow smoke up Kell Brook's arse a little bit, like, in terms of what he's done in boxing. I'm a British boxing fan and obviously have been as long as I can remember. But I'm going to look at Kell Brook's career and I'm going to say underachieved. That's the one word I think of, underachieved. That's what he's done. He's underachieved throughout his career. Has he overachieved? I mean, people are going to have these debates. Winning the world title was always, I think, in the stars for him. It was always his destiny to win a world title. He had the talent. And when I talk about underachievement, I mean in the sense that I think he could have gone on and won another world title in the welterweight division. I think he could have held at least two. I think if things would have gone right for him and he would have made the right choices and his team would have made the right choices, he could have gone up to 154 and possibly won a world title if his career path was plotted out in a better way. But there's nothing we can say or do now about that. At the end of the day, this is it now. His legacy is Sean Porter losing to Golovkin and a win against a shot to Bit Carnes. And I don't think that's a great legacy to leave behind, personally speaking. But that's just my opinion. I'm sure there's many people that will disagree with me, but that's just what I think about the way Kell Brook's career has gone.
Also kind of comes off as like a superhero villain, like bitterly targets Khan for his whole career. Like a lot of his motivations was just to be better than Khan or to insult Khan rather than a lot of motivation on himself. And I feel like people that dwell too much in the negativity, boxers, not that interested. So like that's another thing on top of underachieving. It also felt like he was kind of a negative person.
Well, you got to remember, Khan didn't have to give Brook this fight. Khan was the A side, isn't it? No matter what people say about Kell Brook and Amir Khan was the draw. He was the draw. He was the A side in that fight. If this would have been Kell Brook versus somebody else, the Manchester Arena wouldn't have been filled out. It was filled out because Amir Khan is a draw, and he always has been a draw. We've always had high expectations, and he's delivered on those high expectations, and he's challenged himself, and he's stepped up, and he's lost. And we can, as a fight fan, I've always endeared to a fighter when they have took that extra step and that extra challenge. And yeah, if they lose, then I'll hold my hands up and say, you know what, they tried. They tried, they went for them fights. But when you look at other fighters, whether it be British fighters, US fighters, whoever, if they go throughout their career and fight in sort of average level, European level opponents, maybe get that world title, but then don't go on to achieve anything more in the sport. For me, I just kind of feel disappointed that I know they could have done more, and why didn't they do more? And it just comes back to that whole conversation about, like, when do fighters, you know, when they pick their opponents, when they have that say in that meeting with the people around them, like, how much of it is influenced by the fighter themselves? Or is it just a whole team decision? Or is it just the promoter saying, look, here's a fight for you. It's going to be a relatively straightforward test and you'll get paid for it. And that's that. I mean, what do you think about these sorts of involvements with fighters in their teams and, you know, how they can have an influence or a lack of an influence on what sort of fights they end up taking throughout the course of the career?
It just feels like Brook was always in Khan's shadow and he got sick of being in his shadow. And there were people, as you said, probably around him that said, you're better than him. And rather than kind of chasing maybe his destiny of multiple world titles, at a certain point, he just kind of obsessed over Amir Khan and kind of followed the Khan path in his prime, where it was like, how do I make the most money as opposed to legacy? And I think that's the frustrating part is, we looked at Kell Brook as someone that could achieve a lot for British boxing, and instead he was kind of just a moment in time, a guy who made money, but a guy who didn't really make a huge impact. He had an incredible moment, and then he had a couple of moments we'll remember, but kind of in the wrong way.
So before I move on, I just want to make it clear to the people that are listening, to our listeners, that I'm not a hater of Kell Brook whatsoever. It might sound it. I'm thinking back of what I've said so far, and people think, bloody hell, Sean really doesn't like Kell Brook. It's frustration, guys. It's absolute frustration. I feel like Kell Brook could have gone on to do so much more, and I just think the wrong decisions were made for him, and I've always said this, and it's frustration because I wanted to see him do well. I cheered for him. I was happy when he beat Sean Porter. I was happy he went over there and he took the title away from him. I was happy to see him do that. I wanted to see him beat Errol Spence. I thought he would. I thought he would come back after that Golovkin loss, and I honestly thought he would come back and win, and he didn't. And I've always supported him as a British fighter, but, you know, after that point, after the Errol Spence point, and he started coming back and having all these fights, and I thought, you know, these are sort of average opponents. Why is he fighting? Why is he not
even
going straight
back? Even
the
Porter fight. After the Porter fight, he goes back to Britain, and there's like two or three fights where like the world stopped watching, and it was kind of like, why didn't you have one fight before the Golovkin fight? Even if it's like a kind of a tune-up, get a name in there where like the world watches. It's kind of like Jaime Munguia. The world isn't watching Jaime Munguia. UK is not setting the alarm clocks to watch Jaime Munguia. Kell Brook had all of America wanting to see him, and he just kind of went to Europe and fought Jojo Dan, and it was kind of like weird.
Yeah. Well, I've had enough of bashing a little bit on Brook here. Overall, I did enjoy the fight. It was an entertaining fight, as I thought it might have turned out to be, given the decline of both fighters. And we'll see what happens next for Kell Brook. But I just really want to pick your brains on the rest of the card then. We've seen Tassa Jonas actually pick up the world title, stopping Chris Namus in two rounds. And I was quite happy to see her do that. I think she finally got her just desserts. But the one interesting thing about that fight, or the aftermath of that fight, is they had Hannah Rankin in Sky Sports Studios doing a bit of punditry. Now, Hannah Rankin, I believe, holds the IBO version in the same division. I'm getting the feeling that maybe they're setting this fight up as a future fight for maybe, you know, the two titles being on the line.
I mean, you know better than me. Like, I don't really know. I think it's nice Tassa Jonas wins the title. Good personality, beloved British fighter. I think a pioneer up there with Nicola Adams in women's boxing, especially in the UK. It's good. Let's get her a couple of fights before she wants to call it a day. Let's try to make the most of it. You know, she fought someone that took the fight on a couple of weeks' notice, stops them. Not mad at it.
No, I'm not mad at it. I mean, obviously, I would have preferred the original fight, as we mentioned in the preview, but, you know, Chris Namus wasn't a complete slouch. He wasn't, just someone they completely plucked out of obscurity, but it was sort of made for Tassa Jonas to win that world title. I think it kind of got set up that way a little bit from my perspective, but I'm happy she's done it. It couldn't have happened to a nicer person. She's a really nice person. She's done a lot for British boxing when it comes to the younger generation of females wanting to be at the next Natasha Jonas. You know, people like her and Katie Taylor, Nicola Adams, as you rightly pointed out, and then the next crop of British female fighters that are coming through. You know, these are the people that the girls are looking up to, and it gives them the confidence to go in the gym and think, you know, I can be the next Katie Taylor, or I can be the next Tassa Jonas. So her winning a world title does wonders for the female side of the sport for me. But we'll see where she goes from here. I'm interested to see what you thought of Bradley Ray. I mentioned Bradley Ray in the preview. What did you think of his...
I felt like that. Do you know what that felt like? When someone told you about a band when you're a kid, and then the band has a radio song, like an album later, but you got in right before. It felt like you kind of gave me like a good tip on like a soda or something that the supermarket doesn't quite have enough of before everyone's buying it out of stock. I love it. I don't know what his ceiling is, but he's a very solid UK fighter, and I'm all in. I'm going to be watching all of his fights. I actually think that he deserves more praise than he's getting. But hey, people don't really watch boxing beyond the top two cards. So that's what it is.
About the rest of the card then, I mean, did you have any thoughts on the rest of it? I didn't think it was... I'll give you mine first. I don't think it was that fantastic, to be honest with you. And I suppose it opens the whole pay-per-view can of worms again. That we've had this conversation recently as well. And I think... I wouldn't have justified this as a pay-per-view because, yeah, Khan and Brook, you've got these names. I don't think it deserved the mantelpiece of a pay-per-view. And secondly, the undercard wasn't very good. Barring one or two fights and one or two standout fighters on the card, some of the fights weren't well matched whatsoever. And it upsets me when this happens, and it happens quite a lot, because I think to myself there's potential to make some brilliant fights on a great stage, and the Manchester Arena was packed out. It was packed out. If you look on Facebook, there was even some better fights in the crowd than they were in the actual ring on the night. It was quite crazy. There was quite a few people scrapping in the crowd as well on Saturday night. But overall, it was a sort of below par pay-per-view for me, but the main fight, I suppose, is what we came to talk about. And, you know, did it deliver? I suppose for entertainment it did. You mentioned about what do I want to see, sports or entertainment. It definitely delivered on an entertainment level.
I mean, the only thing that stood out to me was Big Fraser Clark getting beaten, a bare knuckle fighter turning pro who basically seemed happy to just get a ticket to the fight, and he had to fight Fraser Clark. Kind of robbed Frazier of a interesting debut. I'm curious to see how he moves along, because I'm totally eyeballing him as like a Sky Sports boxing pundit for like the next 20 years, as like a guy who just interviews fighters. So I'm charting his progress. But I mean, isn't this kind of boxing in 2022 like scummy business practices of nothing? You know, like they're not. Like, we're just going to throw at you a product. We think you'll pay, and whatever, you know, I mean, I don't think any sport, but especially boxing, is not a value laden place anymore. We're not. They're not giving us the Kell Brook. What was it? Frankie Gavin. What was the fight where it was like Anthony Joshua, Kevin Johnson, Jorge Linares, Kevin Mitchell. You're not getting these kind of cards anymore. You're just getting, okay, who's available? Who's willing to take it at this budget point? And then let's put a main event we think people will buy. Let's charge maybe $10 to $15 more than we think it should be. So then if nobody's buying it, we kind of break even. That's where we're at with boxing right now.
Yeah, it is. It's a sad state of affairs, really. I mean, there'll be many, many, many pay-per-views in the future that will do exactly the same, and it'll leave us feeling exactly the same. But for now, that's another conversation for another day, because I'm sure we'll have many more of these types of conversations when it comes down to some of the poor business acumen of certain individuals within the sport. It was interesting to see the aftermath of all this, I think, more than anything. I've liked the fact that a lot of people in the boxing fraternity have actually come out and supported Khan and give him so much credit, regardless of what you think his performance was like on Saturday night and how easy it was for Kell Brook to seemingly finish the fight for him and play around with him throughout the rounds. I honestly feel like it's good that we give him the respect and obviously stamp that on his name, because he deserved it. And if it wasn't for Amir Khan, British boxing in 2004, 2005 wouldn't have took that next step with someone like a Khan. Because, you know, at the time we had Ricky Hatton, he was like the biggest star in the UK. But Amir Khan comes out with a silver medal from the 2004 Olympics, and there's all this hype around him, and it was between him and Hatton and Calzaghe and a few other names of British boxing that really started to push the envelope a little bit for us as UK fight fans. So I think we need to give him respect. He fought, I think it was 10 or 11 current, former or future world champions throughout his career. He's a two-weight world champion. I think we need to applaud him for what he achieved in his career. And like I said earlier, given his obvious fragilities and that chink in his armour, i.e. his chin, for him to be able to do what he's done throughout his career, I think was quite impressive. And, you know, I'm taking my hat off to him, quite literally. I'm really happy that he's finally looking at calling it a day. And I'll just be really interested now to see where Kell Brook does go. And maybe in a few months' time, we'll be having another conversation about his next fight and where we see it at that point. But I've enjoyed having you back on again for this reaction show to Amir Khan, Kell Brook. I just wanted to know if you had any final thoughts on Amir Khan and his impending retirement.
Well, I think that my final thing was going to be like a little speech, and it's that it's kind of poetic that like Linares and Amir Khan's careers kind of end on the same night in a way. Maybe they take one more fight, but they really ended on the same night. And when I think of Amir Khan, I think of courage looking back, because a lot of times his chin couldn't hold up to what was coming back at him, but he never really looked for a way out. Part of why people would say he had a terrible chin was he'd fight till the bitter end and his body couldn't take it, but he'd still courageously fight. And when I think of Jorge Linares, it was the cuts would accumulate, and it was that of a warrior. And I think in the modern era, as time goes on, people are going to remember these guys more fondly, even though they were so critical of them in the time, because they really gave a lot to the sport. And I think what we're looking for in this new era, and why some fighters aren't catching on, is we're not seeing this type of courage or warrior spirit with modern fighters. We're getting a lot of business and all this other stuff, but we're not seeing guys lay it on the line. And these are two fighters who, even at the end of their career, they really fought for the fans. They made a lot of money, and then they always gave an honest effort.
And that's a really good place to end this episode, I think, Lukey. It's a pleasure to have you on. Again, if anybody's not already followed Lukey, you can at ITR Boxing and at Lukey Boxing on Twitter. It's been a pleasure having your wonderful insight for this reaction show. I'm looking forward to getting back with you soon for doing some more content. It's been a pleasure for everybody else who's listening to us. You know where to follow us, at BTR Boxing Pod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and YouTube. Big thanks to all them patrons as well, of course, out there for supporting us throughout this journey. Thanks for listening to this episode, and we'll see you next time.
He's done it! Anthony Joshua defeats Vladimir Klitschko!
Sports Social Podcast Network.